This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right. Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with the great, talented Elena Sweetser. And we are here to talk to you about all things life and work, spouses, business.
Ooh,
Yeah. Jinx, or was it?
You owe me a coda.
Coke.
A soda. Soda and Coke at the same time. Dang, we're mixing words.
But anyway, we're here to talk to you guys for all those that are still willing to listen to us. We sincerely appreciate all the support. It's been a small community that continues to grow, and it means a lot to Elena and I that we are actually saying things that people can relate to. And we try to be that way, and I know you do.
Yeah.
When you're talking to me, is and the things that we put out there, we try to be our genuine, goofy selves. And in a world that's fake, we want to bring real back to it. So here we are. And just again, sincere thank you to everyone that continues to listen to us.
Thank you.
So speaking of listeners and people that listen to us, we were actually one of the people that has tuned into the podcast quite a bit. Reached out to Elena and I and said that, you know, holidays are coming up and this person is a yes person. They don't want to say no. And they're really struggling with kind of setting boundaries. And I think setting boundaries not only with friends and family, but in business as well. And I thought that there would be no better person to take on this subject from someone that lived that path for the longest time.
And still cutting it off completely, but yeah.
You do, because you still feel bad, but would be Elena. Yeah. At the end of the day, I thought this would be a perfect topic for you.
Put me on the spot like that.
Sometimes I got to do that. I mean, I'll throw in some of my two cents every now and then, but I know that was something you struggled with for a long time.
100%.
And I thought this would be a great, and this is a female listener, by the way. So I felt like coming from your female perspective, you might have more to add to this this issue than I would.
Yeah. I think I've always been that way. Like, I've always wanted to help people. My mom is a people pleaser, so I do get that from her. And I got to a point, and I think it happens with age, that you just realize that, I know this sounds weird, you're just a happy person, but you're an angry person. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I went to my therapy session one year. It was like three years ago. And I just said, I just don't understand why I'm so angry all the time. But I'm happy. And so we dug into it more, and it was like, because I was a people pleaser. So really, I just said yes to everything. Not in a good way. You know the movie Yes Man?
Yeah,
I do. One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Well, I just love Jim Carrey. But not in a good way, because I think it also like tackled on tremendously when I got into real estate too, because obviously you strive for customer service.
Right.
So you probably have a little bit of it too.
I definitely do.
But I had it bad with friends, family, mm-hmm. pleasing my parents, clients, my own husband at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm still married to the same husband. But like, he was my boyfriend before husband then, right?
Sure.
Siblings. I mean, I said friends already. I don't know. So I had to go through really really hard growing pains through that. Mm-hmm. Because you always jump and say you'll do things even if you know it won't make you happy. And so I think at some point in your life, you're going to come to, like I did, and realize you should come first. Why would they say in the airplane, put your mask on first before other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, because you can't really help somebody else,
you know,
to their fullest if you don't help yourself.
It's not fair to you. And like my therapist said, you need to love yourself too.
You do.
And for those who love you the way that they claim they do, they'll understand. If you say no, they will understand.
Yeah, and I think, my two cents on, as I'm, I am like that, right? I am a people pleaser to a degree. I want to help as many people as I possibly can. It's something I enjoy doing. If people ask me to, this just happened today, I'm not planning on traveling this month really for work. And then all of a sudden an opportunity came up for one of my guys and he really needs me to be down in Houston on a certain date. And I'm like, okay, now I gotta move my schedule around to do this, and I gotta cancel some things I had working on, to be there for them. But I understood that the opportunity is so big for this person that, I'm agreeing to it. So it's hard because you want to say yes to everything, and what you start to realize is not only to your point where you feel like you're happy, but you're really not happy overall, is you don't really put you half-ass it, which mm-hmm. is. One of the things that your uncle mentioned mm-hmm. on a past episode is don't half-ass it. And when you're trying to accommodate so many people and you're trying to please so many people, no one's necessarily getting the 100% Elena or the 100% of this listener. They're getting bits and pieces of you mm-hmm. Because you're trying to accommodate everybody and you just can't.
And it might not be the best bits and pieces of you.
Correct. And, I will say this, though, is that you can't expect to, and I think maybe you struggled with this a little bit early on and why it caused, I think, some major arguments, is because you went from 0 to 100. You went from people pleaser, people pleaser, people pleaser to, I'm just gonna start saying no to everything.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And I think there's a transition there. And I think part of it has to be that you blame yourself a little bit, right? Because you've spoiled these people. And these people have been around you and they're like, oh, this is Elena, she'll never say no. Elena's always there for me. Elena's always got my back. Elena's, she always wants to have a good time, so she's not gonna, my wife's this way too. Mm-hmm. And I think what ends up happening is you get so burned out by that.
Keyword.
You get so burned out by that what you end up doing is you rip it off like a Band-Aid. And then all of a sudden you create this friction with your friends or spouses or whoever. But part of the blame is on you because you've spoiled them for so long. You got to give them time, or you have to have an actual conversation with that person and say, look, I know that I usually say yes to everything. I know that I try to be there for you whenever you need me to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you, I'm going to be saying no a lot more frequently, and this is why.
I don't think you need to say that, though. And that was my thing, because I was just going to say, one of the learning curves that I had to go through was explaining why.
Yeah,
once you have to explain, then you give them control back.
And then you're starting to
trick your mind to think, am I doing the right thing? Should I have just said yes?
So I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is what ends up happening is, as a byproduct of that you doing those things, all of a sudden it creates animosity and it creates friction. Yeah. So you went from a situation where everything was good because it was on their terms.
Yeah.
And then now there's friction because you're pushing back. But to these people, they don't know you any other way.
Yeah.
Right, they only know you for the person that's always there. So to them, there's an adjustment period for them too.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you justify why you're doing it, because I said I'm not going to do this. That should be the end of it. It's not explaining yourself to where they get control. It's letting them know where you're coming from, because sometimes people start taking that for granted, not because they intentionally are taking it for granted. It's just because they don't know you any other way.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I'm saying.
I will say I'm definitely way more at peace. I work with more clients who respect my hours. Like, excuse me, last night, I last minute had to do a showing in Bedford, which is 3 minutes from my house, so I didn't mind. But at 7 p.m., now my kid goes to bed at 7:30, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I don't want to miss bedtime. So they're like, we'll be very fast. They know I have a kid. So we showed it, like I said, 3 minutes away, 10-minute showing. I was back by 7:40. Enough time to snuggle my kid and laugh with him in bed before we went to bed. And then she was like, can you email us the offer? And then she said, but after you put your son to bed, you know? Where most times in my career, when I started to hate my career, was I would get the clients that would say, can you do it now? Mm-hmm. And I would push, I didn't have Kian then, but
Cole, I would put him to the back corner and be like, we'll go to dinner in an hour and a half. I got to get this work done. Yeah. We'll do this tomorrow. Or I can't go to the lake this weekend. I have to work now, you know?
I'm so thankful that, or you should be so thankful, I know Cole is, that you set those boundaries because, you know, at the end of the day, now look at the clientele that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So not only are you dealing with a higher end clientele, I think you would agree with that. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with people that have families. You're dealing with people that, you know, are probably run their own businesses similar to you. They've got families just like you do. So you set that standard for yourself. Yeah. And I think there's nothing wrong with setting standards, and we should live by those standards. And I think that you also can, I'm trying to think of the right wording to say, is, and I guess maybe it's just setting the standards. Maybe that's the, it's summed up in one, is that you're setting a certain standard for yourself, that you are gonna surround yourself with a certain group of people.
Yeah.
And whether that be your friends or your clients, there's, you kind of set your status at a certain level.
I realize if you can't love and respect yourself, how can you expect other people to do that to you?
Sure.
They can't show you that same level of love and respect if you're outputting less.
Right.
And so it's like, once I started showing up for myself more, my life changed.
Right.
You know, but
and for the better. And yeah. Like you said, you didn't lose anything. So no. All those nights where you were so, I can't miss this. I can't do this. I have to postpone our date. We'll do mommy, you know, son play date another day. Mm-hmm. You always put the clients ahead of your own needs. And what ends up happening is those were the ones that were more challenging, mm-hmm. more difficult, less satisfied, didn't appreciate it, mm-hmm. didn't appreciate you. And you start thinking to yourself like, wow, you know, my career has only blossomed. Mm-hmm. I've only made that much more money now. I'm that much happier. Mm-hmm. And I did it by setting standards for myself. Mm-hmm. It's a proven blueprint. We just don't do it. And especially when you're trying to build. And I do understand that too. And, you know, not everyone's in your situation. You learned that during the building process, especially in the real estate side.
I think you naturally, so I'll be 35 next month. And I think you naturally learn that at the end of your 20s and early 30s. Because the more I talk to like Kristen Allison, they kind of went through a transition like that too. Mm-hmm. That's usually when you start to see friends come and go and come and go. But I did lose friends. I mean, we used to be good friends with three other groups of friends. And once I started kind of pushing back more on just saying no, clearly didn't go well.
Right.
Oh, you think you're better than us, you know?
Right. Let them think that. And Let them think that.
It was like, go do your own life, but it was good for me because it was an anchor that was released that let me live the life that I've been wanting to live, you know? But you had to go, it was very painful.
It sucks because these are the people that you're around the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these people today, and I'm, you know, to the person that, you know, asked us to discuss this topic, my advice to you would be, is how much do you really think you would lose if those people weren't in your life?
There are people out there that will appreciate you.
And there is.
So I think the biggest people pleasing that a lot of people struggle with, I know I struggled with, and I don't mean this in a bad way, is to their parents.
Yeah.
So that was my mom and I, God, I want to say it was 3-4 years ago, went through a huge butting of heads because I started doing my own things, right? Mm-hmm. Not her way. Mm-hmm. And I read this book, I think it's Glennon Doyle. I can't remember the book name, but I know this author. But in there, she put, it's when I became a mom. So 5 years ago, it's when I started becoming a mom, when I started saying no to her ways. And I'm like, this is my child. I'm gonna do things my ways, right? I read that book. And in there, it says, you can't be a good mother if you're too busy being a good daughter.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me because I'm like, that's right. I'm like, this is my child. Yes, your grandma, but this is my child. And I want to raise my kid the way I want to raise my kid, you know? Yeah. And you have to trust in yourself that you raise me well enough that I will raise a good kid. You know?
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you look at, we can go on this topic for a while, yeah. But I will say that's one of the things that Alice and I were very much on the same page with early. Take that back. I think I did a very good job of setting boundaries with my family because I think part of it was I had to mature so much earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, I've told you the story about just the humble beginnings. And, you know, mm-hmm. I started working when I was 12 years old, when I had my first real summer job, mm-hmm. and I was cleaning carpets with my dad, like physical work at 12 years old. So I see these kids today and I feel like they're a bunch of babies because they're capable of so much more.
Yeah.
And I remember when I left the house at 17, right before I turned 18, I moved out. I never looked back. And You know, I'm you know, grateful to say I never had to borrow money from my family. I never asked them for anything after I left the house. I'm not knocking anyone that has. It just was a pride thing for me. Mm-hmm. But it also set a very strong precedent with my family that I love you and I want to be there around you as much as I can. But this is my own life and my own journey now. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I was able to set that very early on. Allison did not, right? Allison was a lot closer with her family. Mm-hmm. She had her mom was like her best friend, similar to your situation. Mm-hmm. And she would tell her mom, especially when we were dating and even early in our marriage, there was very little secrets or very little things that were only between Allison and I. Mm-hmm. She felt it was always necessary to have those conversations with her mom. And it's because she looked at Mary as someone that was her confidant. Mm-hmm. Mary is a very great listener. She's great at giving advice. She was a teacher. And Allison relied heavily on her mom. And I love her to death as well. I've got a great bond with her and a great relationship. But I think a big part of it was that I was willing to push back to her. And I said, look, this is my wife. These are decisions her and I are gonna make together. There's certain things that are between her and I that don't need to be shared with you. And, mm-hmm. you know, we will come to you with advice. And Allison and I would get in a lot of arguments about it, mm-hmm. especially early on. And I think Allison finally started to realize that I was right in that mm-hmm. situation, that she was never gonna be a good mother or gonna be the wife that she needed to be. When she always had this outsider's perspective, she always had this kind of...
She was technically still dependent.
She was very dependent on that. And then when we had kids, it got more challenging because now the grandparents are very much involved. Mm-hmm. And grandma and grandpa feel like you should be coming to my house for the holidays. They feel like you should always be accommodating them. Mm-hmm. And we were very much on the same page with this. We were not that way. Mm-hmm. We would travel at Thanksgiving, and we would travel at Easter, and we would accommodate the parents on those type of scenarios. But Christmas, it was a hard line in the sand.
Yeah.
And it caused a lot of arguments, especially early on. And I told my family, you know, back then was, look, you are welcome in my home at Christmas anytime. We've got guest rooms. We'd love to have you. But my children are going to wake up in their home mm-hmm. around their Christmas tree. We're going to make our own Christmas traditions. We are going to take some of the things, the best of the traditions that you gave us, and we're going to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. And we set those boundaries early on. And I can't tell you how thankful we were that we did that. And I think even though our families were not very understanding initially, they began to respect it. Mm-hmm. And they began to understand what we were trying to do for our families. And what a great comment.
Yeah.
You know, how do you become a great mother if you're still trying to be a great daughter? You can't be. And yeah. Son's the same way.
Well, it's hard because, yeah, especially, you know, I have family in Texas or here, Cole's side, and then I have my family in New Mexico. And so, yeah, we have to flip-flop. And I hate that my kid can't wake up on Christmas morning every Christmas morning because we had to put the foot down last Christmas with Cole's side of the family because normally we stay at Chris's. But now I'm like, my kid is at an age that he's going to recognize Santa actually coming.
Yes.
And I want my son to wake up at our house. Like I did the little...
That's absolutely
with
right.
the flower, the footprints, yep. Santa Claus footprints to the thing. And so I'm like, and we can't help not going to Mexico because that's when my sister and my brother go. But I was firm with them when I said we were still going to do our traditions with my kid then. While we're there, we're going to do our traditions. So, but yeah, it's definitely hard because when we started saying no to a lot of things, especially family stuff, I mean.
You're always made to look like the bad person.
Yeah.
Well, you're always made to look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And what people don't recognize is, okay, I'm coming to your house. Why? Because you set your traditions. Mm-hmm. Right? You set your traditions to have Christmas at your house. So why am I having to accommodate to always accommodate for what you want to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it got to the point where it was like, look, if we got to do our own thing, we do our own thing.
Yeah.
And that became for Thanksgiving because we used to always host for Thanksgiving. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And no one wanted to do the family Thanksgiving that year. So Allison and I said, look, you know, the world's not shut down, even though part of the U.S. is. Let's go do a trip. Mm-hmm. And this year will be the first year since COVID mm-hmm. that Allison and I will not be doing a trip at Thanksgiving. And again, when things got back to normal, everyone just assumed we would go back to be doing hosting tradition Thanksgiving. And I'm like, guys, we started a new tradition now. And we like to travel on the week of Thanksgiving. And once my kids probably get out of school, we'll go back to traveling for the week of Thanksgiving because it was never that big of a deal to them. So, you know, I'm not going to accommodate what everyone else wants to do. And
well, I think people,
but it's going to cause, like you said, it's going to cause friction, especially early on, because people aren't used to seeing that side of you. But you are not doing yourself any favors by making yourself be someone that you're not.
Right. And it's just going to create animosity at the end of the day and burnout. Yep. Those are the only two things you'll find at people pleasing.
And either those friends are going to stick around you, or those families are going to stick around you, or if it's the point where if they drift out of your life, oh my gosh, you should be giving yourself a huge thank you, because you just got that person out of your life way earlier than you would have.
They want the best for you.
Exactly right. And you would have hung on to those friendships for so much longer.
Yeah.
And you would have been, eventually, the result would have ended the same, because eventually you're going to figure out on your own that this is not the way I want to live. Mm-hmm. And now you're a lot longer into this friendship. It makes it that much uglier. You're better to cut ties with them early on and say, look, we're not good fits.
You have to realize sometimes people don't know they're overstepping boundaries. You think they would, but sometimes they just don't.
That's what I'm saying. They don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you go and you set that boundary, it's okay to step up, because I've had good feedback on that. Like, Krista always calls me to plan stuff for Joe and Harry for their birthdays. And finally, it was 2 years ago, I said, this your mom and Cole's mom and your mom and Cole's dad and your dad. You guys plan their birthday gifts. You coordinate with Cole. I already have my family that I'm coordinating with. Yeah. I do their birthday stuff. I was like, I can't add on this, run a business, be a mom, be a wife. I was like, it's too much.
You set boundaries.
So I did. And at first I was like, oh, and then
You feel guilty about it. Yeah, of course you did.
And there was a hiccup on something. I forgot what it was. But I said, you guys are delayed getting him a gift. That's on him. If Cole didn't pay you on time, that's on Cole. That's not on me. He has access to our bank account. He has access to Venmo. He's fine. And that's not on me anymore.
I love it. And like I said, look at all the things. Like I said, you guys should be looking at Elena as Exhibit A, right? Yeah. Because again, this is all of these things that she's transitioned into has really happened over the last, you know, call it 2 to 3 years, when she had to say no to friendships, when she had to set boundaries with her family, when she had to set boundaries with her in-laws and her brother-in-law and sister-in-law side of the family. And then now people see, wow, her career is taking off. She seems like super mom. Mm-hmm. She's always doing everything with Kian. Kian mm-hmm. is still a very much big part of her life. No, she shifted mm-hmm. where that energy was going to be spent.
I shifted it and I shedded.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Is shed a word, though?
We just made it one. If it's not, it probably is one. Bumper sticker.
Whatever the, you know.
We're putting that on a t-shirt.
You know the video where they go like this and then the black sunglasses come down? Amber, if you could do that, that'd be perfect.
So when you know when Ryan says his clip of the week of what stuck with him, it's going to be that.
Shifted, and what did I say?
It's shredded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you can't take it. I'm calling it. I'm calling it.
You let go of the weight and you shift your direction.
And then things take shape for you. And guess what? Those same people that you thought were your closest allies, that you thought were your closest friends, that had your back the most, it's funny how quickly it changes. Mm-hmm. And now it's the jealousy, it's the envy, it's the oh must be nice, it's you're the person they're talking about at group events. You're always now a topic of conversation. And what's funny is you separated from that, and what you realize is everything that we told you is true and the things you heard growing up is true. Misery loves company. You recognize that's true. You recognize the people that have jealousy or animosity because of what they don't have in life. It's a constant reminder of they should have done more, but they weren't willing to change themselves. So now they see themselves in the same hole that they were in, and they see you blossoming, and now it's, oh, you're the enemy because of this, right?
Only people who are below you try to bring you down, and that's the one thing to remember.
Keep raising your status. Keep raising your game.
I just had to say no to Allison and Krista because you guys are planning next year. And I said, normally I'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll go. We'll figure it out. But I'm like, we can't commit this early. Sorry. And
there
that's new for me. And, of course, I'm like, oh, God, they're going to kill me. You know, but they understand. That's the difference when you're with friends. Of course, it's sad because they want us to join.
That's it.
But we can't commit right now. You know, Cole's hopping in real estate, right? Next year will be his first spring market. It's supposed to, that's
buckle up, buddy.
March is when it started kicking off. That's why I had to miss Hawaii, remember?
Yeah.
So that's when it started kicking off, and I'm like, it's just, we can't commit right
and
now.
And that's around the corner. And at the end of the day, guys, this is the setting the boundaries that we're talking about. And Elena is one of our dearest friends, and we tell each other
no. A little pissy to say I'm family, but whatever.
They are family. I should absolutely take that back. They're 100% family.
You're not getting a Christmas card this year.
I'm getting a Christmas card, guaranteed.
I've never sent Christmas cards in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that organized.
We're going to get a Christmas gift, though. I will get a Christmas gift. Yeah. She'll forgive me by Christmas. I have a way of getting forgiveness. Yeah. But for family, but we still tell each other no. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's okay. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we understand when the answer is no, and we move on. Yeah. And I can tell you that other people in your family as well used to push it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they're starting to realize that, look, guys, Elena's at a point in her life where she has to focus on her and Cole and Kian and their family. And if we're not okay with it, then we're not very good friends, and we're not good family. Mm-hmm. And to the person that, again, asked us for this advice, thank you so much for it, because it's a topic that I think is near and dear to Elena and I's heart, mm-hmm. Especially Elena, because I think she learned it a little bit later in life, mm-hmm. Later than I think she would have wanted to, mm-hmm. but has recognized what a positive impact having those boundaries have been for her. You're gonna find the same thing, and you know, you're gonna have to be willing to put yourself first and
love yourself,
you're gonna have to roll the dice. And if you believe that those friends or family are the ones that you want in your life, and you feel like they're the ones that are gonna be supporting you no matter what, they're gonna be there, yeah. Bottom line. And if they don't, you're going to be able to the cream will rise to the top, yeah. And you're going to be able to weed out the things that you don't want.
And one thing that I, before we wrap it up, that I want to make a point that at least it was for me, is I finally realized Cole's y'all's age. I'm 10 years behind.
Yeah.
And it really hit me that I was trying to force myself to speed up time to be where you guys are in life. And I'm like, I'm at the end of the day, I'm 10 years behind, right?
Maybe you're 10 years ahead of us, depending on how you look at this. And I'm being dead serious, because look what took you, you know, some of us haven't learned these lessons yet.
Yeah.
These lessons that you're talking about today that you've learned, some of us aren't applying.
Yeah.
I don't always apply it. Allison doesn't always apply it. We still say yes a lot more times than we should. We don't say no enough. We don't put ourselves, our health especially, mm-hmm. we don't put that in front of other things, mm-hmm. right? And we should.
Yeah.
And so you could say at the end of the day, maybe you just learned a lot quicker than the rest of us did.
Maybe, but also, like, just say a young kid, you know?
You're still,
life's,
girl,
well,
you're...
No, not me being a young kid.
You are a young kid.
I am a young buck. But no,
you
like,
are.
Having a young kid
sure.
is different than where you guys are in life having
1,000%.
You know? So, like, for instance, I think about Chris's New Year's party, and we haven't gone the last year because I'm like, I like waking up to my little boy in the morning.
And you should have those memories.
And there'll be a point where he doesn't care about mommy.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
He can go to Nana's and
exactly
he doesn't care.
Right.
But he loves waking up in the morning, especially if we tell him it's New Year's and mommy, it's a new year.
And guess what? The rest of us walked the path that you were on.
Yeah.
And so we need to be more understanding, because, like, guys, we would have done the same thing if we were in Elena's shoes.
Yeah.
We would have done the same thing for our kids. We said no because of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I remember, especially when the kids were at Kian's age, we had to say no, especially going out, because I'm like, guys, I'm not going to spend an extra $100 tonight on money that I don't have, mm-hmm. on a babysitter just so I can see you. So, like, I
want
to hang out with you guys. 1,000%.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love to have you. And, you know, we got alcohol here. We can cook food here. And we're happy to host you guys. We want to hang out with you. But if you guys want to go out and do things, we're not holding you back from that. We're not making you guys change your plans for us.
Yeah.
We're not making you change your standards for us. We're not making you set, you know, change your boundaries for us. Just know that you got to be okay with us saying no, because we're at that time. We're saying that right now, because you know, there's a lot of trips that we've been saying no to because my kids are in their junior and senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things I want to go. Mm-hmm. I love to travel, but my wife has to keep reining me in. And she's like, look, babe, we're not going to say yes to these things. We are going to be very much more last minute. Mm-hmm. Because our kids, unless we know their schedules are...
Welcome to the dark side. I plan my trips last minute.
Yes, and we have to, because we don't, you know, in certain scenarios, we know the kids' schedule, so we can kind of make some plans.
Yeah.
But right now, it's homecoming.
Yeah.
My daughters all cheer. In fall, football Friday Night Lights is big for her.
Fishing.
It's Dylan's fishing tournaments. the window is closing with my kids, and I can tell you right now that every ounce of free time that Allison and I get will be towards our kids. Mm-hmm. They will be first. Mm-hmm. They are going to be first and foremost, and we are going to make their things a priority because the window is closing for us to have those moments anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, you know, you have your kids where you say no early on, and then you have a gap where your kids are old enough where they can kind of stay at home by themselves. They don't really want to hang out with your friends. You don't feel bad about leaving them to go do things. So then you get to have the mommy daddy time, right? Mm-hmm. And then they get a little bit older and you're going, oh crap, I need to go back to my kids because now I've got less time
now
with them.
About to go off into the world.
Exactly right.
I know.
Exactly
and,
right.
And I shout out to my book club because they understand. I haven't read a book in
She's
7 months.
She's wine club. They won't kick her out. You know what's funny? And this is how you know Elena's family is my wife, I would say.
They're a hardcore book club.
Hardcore. And, you know, Allison does not like bending the rules when it comes to, because I think they say, hey, if you don't read books 2 or 3 times, like, you're just coming here to hang out. And people have gotten
booted.
And yet Elena, a nice year and a half in to this thing, probably hasn't read maybe one of the books out of this thing, but she's still in it.
In the last 7 months. I was very good. I was used to, I was reading A, B, and C. That's how crazy they are. But
crazies.
7 months ago is really when I just haven't had time to breathe. And all of them, although they give me shit, you know, but all of them understand. I'm like, once again, it comes down to the age thing, right? Like,
sure.
I'm the only one with a 4 or 5 year old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I don't, my business is going like this. And so they get it. You know, like I talk to Kate, she's like, I get it. You're busy.
Right.
She's like, you
but
do you.
You have the right friends.
Because that's the only time we get to see you.
Right. And that, like I said, those are the friends that are being understanding, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that Elena sets those boundaries for herself. And although it might frustrate them, and I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
But
I made a pledge to read a book next.
But they do know Elena's going to come back.
Yeah.
Elena's going to come back. And, you know, sometimes
I might read 130 books, Allison. What are you going to do about that?
And you definitely will not do that. No one outpaces my wife on books. Maybe Amber. I think Amber pushes her a little bit. But Amber's also single, right? So
yeah.
It goes to show you how much my wife reads. It's absolutely insane. But
that's on my bucket list to outread Allison in a year.
You guys, you should bring it one time and just be like, she'd be so distraught because usually she's so much ahead of everybody else and that type of things.
Yeah.
I think she takes a sense of pride too because she wants
her and Krista go head to head.
Well, they're competitive. Go figure, they're competitive. Anyway, way off topic here. Guys, but the episode started about setting boundaries.
Yes.
And it was
important.
Yeah, and I'm glad that someone felt that there would be value in us talking about this topic. So thank you for bringing it up, and thank you for allowing us to give you our advice.
Yep.
And doesn't mean that our advice is always correct. Doesn't mean we're right. We're just simply sharing what's worked for us over the years. So hopefully you saw some value in it. Hopefully you can apply it to your life.
If there's anything you took out of this episode, choose you.
And continue to like us, share us. All the things you guys have helped grow our listeners and grow the platform. And when we say we're genuinely thankful for your support, it does mean the world to us because again, you know, at the end of the day, Elena and I love doing this stuff because it helps us get through our days. These are our therapy sessions with each other, but it does mean the world to us that people value the things that we see or say. So anyway, we'll catch you on the next one. Take
Bye.
Care.
Yeah.